All right, here in the third hour, last live hour of Open Lines this week. I know it's only Wednesday, but I got things to do, places to be, and this is the last hour of, live hour of Open Lines we're going to have this week. We're taping new shows for tomorrow, by the way. I mean, I'm going to be gone and doing some family things. You know, we've got every birthday, anniversary, and family event that could possibly be packed into about 3 weeks in my family that all occur in the latter part of May. And so something's got to give. We will be having some new shows for you tomorrow on the program. And so I do have to come in tomorrow morning, even though technically I'm taking the day off. I don't know how that works, but I'm coming in on a day that I'm taking off to record two new hours of tomorrow's broadcast so you can hear them tomorrow. But it won't be live. It'll be on tape. New, but... And meanwhile, my producer types things that can't be repeated on the air. Nothing profane, by the way. Now, speaking of profanity, you will not hear cussing. You will not hear the F word. You will not hear inappropriate language during the afternoon on television. You won't. You can tune in when it's actually on to cable, but to say The Sopranos, and hear and see all sorts of things. You won't see it in the afternoon, but the subject matter is precisely the same. And I'm talking about afternoon soap operas. I'm talking about the soap operas that cater to women. I'm talking about the soap operas that advertise to women. I'm talking about the soap operas that women watch. Now, men do watch them occasionally, but largely the audience are women. I want to know from you in this hour of Open Lines the question you can answer for me. Yesterday I asked about the appeal of Oprah. What's the appeal of the soap opera? And perhaps more to the point, should Christians be watching soap operas? I mean, if you think about the subject matter involved in the average afternoon of soap operas, you've got sex, you've got adultery, you've got usually some form of incest. I mean, something like that will inevitably happen in a given week. Intrigue, deceit, thievery. And since the characters tend to switch from good to evil over the course of an entire season, you know, one, I'll use Luke as an example from General Hospital because he's the only character's name I can remember. And he never goes away, even though he's about 89 years old now. So there he is. One season, he's insane and he's evil. And the next season, he's good. And one season, this is why I can't follow him. One season, the dark-haired guy with the strange foreign name is a criminal. He's a mafioso. The next season, he's a detective with the police. And he's working with the police and fighting crime. And since that happens so often, every single one of these characters exhibits the worst and the best in all of human experience in the course of a season. And that's what the soap opera is. Now, I mentioned before the break, the way I prefer to watch the soap opera when I do is to turn the sound down and provide my own dialogue. Try it sometime. You'll just be tickled to death. You'll never turn up the sound ever again. But people watch them all the time with the sound up. And I'll tell you one thing. During the summer when my wife is watching General Hospital, it's not advisable to interrupt her. And she doesn't like me walking into the bedroom and providing my own dialogue over that of the characters. It annoys her. Should Christians be watching soap operas? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. We have an in-studio email address as well. Feel free to use that. issuesetc@kfuo.org. And, like yesterday, I'm going to be giving some books away. Randomly, again, as the Spirit prompts. Two books I want to give away. I have two copies of Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment. This is a book. We talked to Richard Winter, the author of this book, Rediscovering Passion and Wonder. It's a little bit along the lines of that classic work called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And the other one I want to give away, why don't we interview her here in studio? You tried to get an interview with Patricia Heaton. Now that Everybody Loves Raymond has reached its conclusion, maybe she'll be more available. Although to talk about, okay, folks, I'll just be honest with you. To talk about the passion and the wonder, maybe we shouldn't have Patricia Heaton here in studio. She's got this book called Motherhood in Hollywood, How to Get a Job Like Mine. I'm going to be giving a copy of that book away as well to our callers during this hour of Open Lines. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. So your answer to this question on the soap operas. Now, men have their soap operas, too. That's altogether true. But let's, at least for the beginning part of this conversation, confine our thoughts to the afternoon soap operas, which are usually, I think they've tried to break into the male market there, but I don't think it's worked very well. Men have their soap operas. Yes, they do. 24 is a soap opera. It is. It's action-oriented, but it's a soap opera. The Sopranos is a soap opera. But don't be shy. You can call in anonymously, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or, if you're worried that I might be mocking you for watching a soap opera, don't worry. I'm not going to mock you. I might correct you, but I have no intention of mocking you for watching a soap opera. There's obviously an appeal here, a huge appeal. What is it, and should Christians be watching afternoon soaps? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727, our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's start with Larry. Why is the first caller when on these women's subjects always a man? Let's talk with Larry calling from his car. Larry, welcome to Issues, etc.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
I'm going to give you kind of a different spin on this since I'm a television repairman.
Oh, really?
So I'm stuck watching them because it's either that or I'm watching Pat Robertson, and unfortunately that's not a lot better. I'm gonna approach this a little differently. Has the Missouri Synod ever thought of getting in the game and providing an alternative?
What would the alternative look like?
There's an idea.
What would it be like?
You mean to a soap?
Yeah.
Oh, my. What would it be without devices?
Okay, Larry.
Precisely. Maybe it's something in an adventure, you know, like the Saturday morning stuff they do.
Okay, Larry, it's a good suggestion, although I think I'm already providing it right now. I mean, if people don't want to be watching the soap operas, they can certainly be listening to Issues, etc. There's a good alternative to the soap operas. So, now some people, say in nursing homes, will be stuck with it. If they can't reach the clicker, then there's the soap opera. Or if you're like Larry and you're repairing televisions, then you're stuck with them. But are soap operas, are they, because the audience is largely women, are they a form of female pornography? Nothing said, nothing seen, you won't hear the profanity, you won't actually see anything really take place. But of course, what, I don't watch these, so I don't see it? Are you watching more of these? Yeah. Here's the guy who just admitted before we came on the air here that he was addicted. I think he said addicted to the soap operas, all of them, when he was in college. You're making me lose my train of thought. And this, by the way, is Employee Evaluation Day, and this is a bad day for me to lose my train of thought. Let's talk with Bill, who calls from his car. Bill, welcome to Issues, etc.
Yeah, thank you. I don't care for the soaps. They're too intense, but my wife, she's been hooked on all my children for years. But in answer to your question, though, is a female pornography, I don't think that's the appeal. I think it's the entertainment, if you could call it that, of watching the misfortune of others unfold. But then you could say the same thing for watching Jerry Springer or even Cops. So should Christians be watching it? Well, I guess it's what you're trying to get out of it. If you enjoy seeing other people's miseries, I suppose that's not the most charitable thing to do. But now my point is, I think the biggest appeal is watching the troubles of other people and I guess you might compare it to the ancient Romans and the Colosseum. That's pretty far-fetched.
But I think what you're talking about is the voyeuristic aspect of the soap opera. In other words, okay, my life is pretty normal, and what I'm going to do in the afternoon is maybe go to the grocery store, straighten up around the house, pick up the kids, take care of the dry cleaning, all those kind of things. But looky here. I mean, Francesca and Emilio, they're jetting across the country stealing diamonds and engaging in espionage. And then when they come home, they dine at the finest restaurants, and they still have time for their children. And don't you know how interesting their lives really are? And then, of course, next week, was it Francesca? Yes, Francesca will leave Emilio and reveal that the baby wasn't his in the first place, and that's a bit of excitement, too. Yeah, there's a voyeuristic aspect to it. But so far, well, we are 10 minutes in here. We've only heard from men on this issue. I'd love to hear from some women. Do you think that Christians should be watching afternoon soap operas? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I hear Christians all the time making definitive statements, judgments about whether or not we should be watching primetime television, whether we should be watching cable television. What about afternoon soaps? What do you think makes them so popular? Across the board, especially with women. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Steve, who calls from his car. Hi, Steve.
Hey. I think the thing that gets into it, they're incredibly emotional in nature, almost to the point of surreal. Between the music and the way they cut into the commercials, it's toying with people's emotions.
So do you think that's the appeal of the soap opera?
I think that's part of it. And I think part of it also is people develop these emotional attachments to certain characters. Now I'm going to go back. And I remember I have two favorite all-time soap operas, and they're no longer anymore. One is called Dallas, and the other one was Dynasty. And do you remember a little thing that happened in the early 80s? What were people talking about on a Friday night?
Well, who shot J.R.? Who shot J.R.?
I think that's appeal. People, you know, they develop these emotional attachments to these characters, and they get sucked into it.
I think that's true. In fact, we had someone before the, and thank you very much, Steve, we had someone before the program, lady here in the radio station, talk exactly about that attachment. She wrote a little note saying sometimes women are so involved that they start to live their lives through the characters, or even put themselves in the same situations as the characters put themselves in. I was growing up in Dallas during the Who Shot JR era, and every other car had the bumper sticker, Who Shot JR, and there I am driving down the freeway in my 1962 Dodge Dart, which I had to have the windows open because there was no air conditioning, yelling out at every car. I did. I would always yell out, it was me. I did it. I didn't watch Dallas. I didn't watch Dynasty. I didn't watch The Dukes of Hazzard either, which was kind of the redneck version of the soap opera. I didn't even watch that. What was I watching? Star Trek. That explains the 1962 Dodge Dart and the fact that there was no one in that car with me. That explains it all. Barbara calls from her car. Barbara, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. I have to admit that I was addicted to soap operas. And the first thing I would say is it's a bad way to spend your time because you don't get anything else done. You get all wrapped up in the soap opera. And as a Christian, I don't like the content, but I'm still watching it. I disagree with everything that's going on. It makes me upset, but yet I go back the next day because they leave you hanging with something else coming up, and you just have to see how it's going to turn out. And you can almost predict it, and you're always right. It's ridiculous, but I decided this a couple months ago I'm just not watching them anymore.
Now, have you been able to go cold turkey from the soaps?
Yes.
Really?
But I watched it for a long time. I just got so fed up. I'm like, I'm not spending time with the children. I'm ignoring everybody else. I've just got to stop.
Barbara, yeah. Thank you very much for your honesty. Now, see, it's a waste. What is her evaluation? A waste of time. And she didn't agree with anything she was watching there. She was frustrated by what she was seeing there. But the hook always kept her coming back. Very manipulative. There's no two ways about that. Very manipulative. That was, for me, one of the most frustrating things about watching any television program was when you knew the show was coming to the end, and then they'd say, to be continued, which is an everyday occurrence with the soap operas. My wife has told me that it actually works this way. Monday, they kind of recap everything that happened the last week. Then they introduce some big event. Then it goes through the week and things happen. And on Friday, On Friday, what happens on the soap opera is they have to go back and kind of summarize, because a lot of people don't watch until Friday. Hey, this is my wife, not me. And then they have to have some big cliffhanger. Then someone pulls a gun. Then someone says, don't you understand the baby isn't yours? Or then someone says, I'm leaving you and jetting off with Francesca to sell diamonds and engage in espionage. And you are waiting with bated breath till Monday. Jennifer calls from Maylene, Alabama, listening on the internet. Jennifer, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I just kind of wanted to say, too, I'm glad another woman called in.
Oh, yeah.
I used to watch soap operas, too, a while back, and, you know, God really convicted me of, you know, it's everything you said. It kind of grabs us women. We are very emotional. We like, you know, being, you know, having a not really a life outside of our own, but it does kind of draw us into this an emotional little roller coaster ride that we like. But, you know, God convicted me of it several years ago, and you look at it now, and I'm like, wow, I cannot believe. I mean, the plots are stupid. The characters are just so far-fetched. They pull characters out of the air, you know. Well, you were so-and-so's son, but we didn't know, and it's just bizarre.
Yeah, and here's my evil step-identical twin.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think Satan really has a great power in that, because he knows that women are drawn to that, because once I got out of it and look back at it, you can look at it and say, wow, that was bad.
Would you call it in any sense female pornography, even though nothing is actually shown or said? Would you call it female pornography?
I don't know that I would call it pornography. I definitely think that it is very addictive for women. And I think a lot of women revolve their lives around it, you know, that are into it. But I don't know that I would consider it pornography.
How much, since you watched them a lot, how much does sex play in the themes, the content, the plots of the soap operas?
When I watched, there was a little bit, but, you know, the biggest thing was more, you know, the rivalries between the women, because the one was married to the other one's ex-husband, and, you know, it was that. I know that there were definitely bedroom scenes, but it didn't ever show a whole lot. Of course, so this was, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, but I don't remember that being, you know, me waiting on bated breath, you know, for those scenes. It was just the whole little life that I led, you know, outside of my own little traumatic life.
I understand, Jennifer. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening on the internet down there in Alabama. Okay, let's talk with Tim. He calls from his car. Tim, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
I'll take the bait. I'll just say no. I don't think Christians should be wasting their time watching that stuff. And I'll tell you, I've tried, but I just don't get it. I've tried to understand them, and I go back to that description of television being chewing gum for the eyes. And that's an accurate description. You really don't get anything out of it. It just sort of keeps your eyes going.
Are you married, Tim?
I am.
Does your wife watch the soap operas?
She does not.
She doesn't?
No. And I've tried, but I'm at a complete loss to explain as to why anyone would watch them. There was, by the way, back to your early part of your conversation, there was a Barney Miller episode where a woman came in to report a murder, and after they sorted through it, it turns out she was imposing a soap opera on her real life.
Well, you know, there are people
so delusional.
That, I think there actually is some sort of a documented, and thank you very much, Tim. I think there's a documented disorder where people disconnect from their own reality and do live vicariously through, as so many of them call them, their stories. I mean, that's what the old ladies always used to say. I'm watching my stories, which usually meant the soaps. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. David calls from his car. Hi, David.
Hey, Todd. My wife used to watch them, and it led to a divorce in my marriage. I think she got all of her advice from soap operas, and she made a lot of poor choices.
Really?
That's my comment, yeah.
David, thank you very much. Okay, now there's an extreme example of what could happen. So we've got the kind of a vicarious way of living your life. If your life is boring or unpleasant, you can always escape for an hour or two to Port Charles or wherever else they're living right now, and you can escape with Francesca and whoever she's with at the moment. Darlene calls from St. Louis. Darlene, welcome.
Greetings. You know, I used to try to get into soap operas because everybody I knew was into soap operas. Go figure. Why do you turn on a show to see why everybody's cheating, sleeping, getting into whatever? I mean, who wants more problems in their lives? It's sin big time. It's maximized in the secular realm. I just don't understand soap operas. And it just emphasizes everything that's wrong in our society.
Darlene, thanks for the call. See, she raises a question in my mind to kind of clarify the question we're asking. Should Christians be watching afternoon soaps? Now, you might say, no, because of the content. No, because of the content. Because the content is going to be every vice imaginable. And why would you want to watch that? It might encourage that, something along those lines. But I think there's a different way of looking at that question. And that is, and it maybe goes more to the appeal of the soap opera. Is there a sinful impulse that says, I want to watch someone else massively screw up their life? Or, I want to live through the excitement of someone else's life, even if for a moment. Or, you know, my husband is balding and paunchy and not the man he used to be. But, Julio, Luke, forever young, virile. I wish my husband were more like Luke from General Hospital. Now, there's an exciting man. There's an interesting man. Luke hasn't taken off his clothes, but... And Luke is a character, a fictional character. But is there sin in that? Don calls from Creve Coeur. Don, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Luke, I'm your father. You know, the soap operas seem to feed a natural sinful desire to hear gossip. But you're seeing it acted out and portrayed in living color. I hear mostly women and men mixed talking about previous day's soap operas, and they're talking about these people like they actually know them, and they're giving advice on what they should do. And it seems like a total waste of time, but it's kind of like gossip.
I don't think it's kind of like gossip. I think it is. It just happens to be fictional gossip. Entirely make-believe gossip. That's a good insight. He's getting at what I'm thinking about, and it's still in process here. Should Christians be watching soap operas? We could say no because they're full of sex and violence, or because they're full of this or that. But even if they didn't have that and it was just the fictional gossip, would it be right for Christians to watch them? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Open phone lines. Call during this break. We'll be right back.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
What's the relationship between sound doctrine and sound practice? Can the sound doctrine of the church survive if its practice is compromised? Can a church claim to have sound doctrine if it doesn't any longer have sound practice? The Fire and the Staff is our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Clement Preuss. To find The Fire and the Staff, visit either of Concordia Publishing House's bookstores in the St. Louis area. One is in the city at 3558 South Jefferson, the other on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. The book is $26.99 plus shipping and handling. When you go in, mention Issues Etc. and the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Fire and the Staff by Pastor Clement Preuss. Or for more information on The Fire and the Staff, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and find the book on the homepage.
Horseshoe crabs, they're primitive and advanced. Answers with Ken Ham, one of the authors of the best-selling Answers book. Well, Ken, how can one animal, such as the example you cited there of the horseshoe crab, be both primitive and advanced at the same time?
Well, these crabs have been called primitive animals because, according to evolutionists, they've been around for hundreds of millions of years. They're also considered primitive because of their immune system. According to one immunologist, their blood cells act like a primitive immune system. He was referring to the fact that they don't produce specific antibodies to fight off specific diseases, as our bodies do. But you know what's interesting? A month later, the same doctor published another article stating, one of the reasons a horseshoe crab has survived for so long is it has an advanced immune system. Now he's referring to the ability of the horseshoe crab's immune system to react much faster than our own. See the contradiction? You know, it just goes to show the meaninglessness of evolutionized terms such as primitive and advanced. Because a scientist believes in millions of years in evolution, he's totally inconsistent when trying to describe the crab's immune system. Surely it's much more scientific to say that all immune systems were designed very well for their purposes, which is what you'd expect based on the Bible.
Many of our scientists, as well as others from around the world, are gathering in July for our International Creation Conference. Find out more about this meeting, as well as our free booklets, on our website, answersradio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. Alcopops are new drinks that combine alcohol with the cola or lemon-lime flavors that young teens enjoy the most. Perhaps you've seen the ads for Smirnoff Ice, Sky Blue, or Mike's Hard Lemonade. These sweet drinks that have the same alcohol content as beer appeal especially to young teens who have not yet developed the taste for alcohol. Do these manufacturers care that alcohol-related accidents are the number one killer of teens today? Jesus cares. He cared enough to die on the cross. And he wants every teen to know that Alco-Pops are not as harmless as they are portrayed in the media. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
Is this how you feel as a parent? Like a frightened chicken, afraid the sky might fall on your family any moment? Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson can help keep you from chickening out on your most vital role, being the parent your kids need most. Keep parenting in perspective with Focus on the Family, heard weekdays right here.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. for the next 25 minutes of the program, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm going to give a book away, Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment by Richard Winter. We talked with him some time back, a book about rediscovering passion and wonder. He deals with a concept in this book called the deadness of soul that has been brought about by our entertainment culture. Don, you're the last caller. If you'd call us back at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, that copy of the book is yours. Also, in the course of this hour, I've got another copy of Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment, and then Patricia Heaton's book called Motherhood in Hollywood, How to Get a Job Like Mine. It's a New York Times bestseller, by the way. And she is, by the way, the wife character on Everybody Loves Raymond, just came to the end of its long and very successful last season. Okay. On the subject of television, afternoon television, soap operas, why do they appeal to women, to some men? Should Christians be watching them? Don said they really appeal to the sin of gossip. Now, all the gossip is fictional, but how do you use, well, we do this the same way. There's the program on throughout, about once every 2 years called The Sopranos, and I like watching it. When we come in, what do? Me and Craig talk about The Sopranos. We talk about Tony as though he were a real character, and all of his Goombas as though they were real people. And when they die, we're glad that they're dead. And when they get whacked, we rejoice as though, well, kind of living our lives through the New Jersey mob. It's a soap opera. My wife says, it's your soap opera. Yeah, it is. So what's the appeal? And should Christians be watching them? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Even if it's as simple as living vicariously through the characters or supplementing the blah of your afternoon with the excitement of these fictional characters' lives. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So far, we've heard mostly from men. Mostly from men. And the women we've heard from have either kicked the habit of the soap operas or never saw the appeal in the first place. You can call in anonymously. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, calling from St. Louis, Gloria, welcome.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I was listening to the program, and I think that soap operas are a platform. It's an avenue for the appeal to the sinful nature. Because if we're Christians, our sinful nature is always going to be rising up. And what I realized about soap operas is that those are characters being paid. They're on a job. When they go through their little scripts, they play them, they go back home, and they live a different life, hopefully. But these people are on a job getting paid, and if what they're doing is appealing to us as women in our home, and it eventually is going to cause discord and division. And that, to me, is a plan of Satan to just continuously be on his job, causing division and discord in the home when you get so wrapped up into something that's so fictitious. And like I said, they're getting paid. It's a job to them. And it's not a real world. It shouldn't be a real world or a real lifestyle for Christians.
Gloria, thank you very much. Well said. Okay. So here's the sadder side of it. And this was mentioned by someone. I read her note just a few moments ago. The sadder side of it is that often the very thing that's going on the soap opera ends up happening in your life. Well, when week after week and year after year, you're watching your favorite characters in the afternoon with a troubled marriage, and the solution, the first solution, is to leave that person or to divorce that person. Sooner or later, that's going to have some kind of a corrosive effect on your own marriage. Especially if when your husband comes home, he's not nearly as good looking as the guy that Francesca divorced last week. And you're saying to yourself, I never would have divorced him. And then here comes your husband. And things aren't so good between you and him. There certainly do seem to be some pitfalls. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Should Christians be watching afternoon soap operas? I try my hardest to make my life as little like a soap opera as it can possibly be. Really. What I want is the most mundane, boring life I can achieve. I have an exciting job. I don't need any excitement outside the job. Now, this is probably much to my wife's chagrin, but when I go home, as little excitement as possible. And when occasionally drama does intrude into my life, I like it to get over as quickly as possible. But then again, I'm the same guy who will go looking for my drama on television. I don't want my life to be as exciting as Tony Soprano. I don't want my life to be as exciting as those who populate the afternoon soap operas. My life is fine just the way I like it. Nice and calm, very boring, with absolutely nothing to talk about when the folks call. What was the one thing I could talk about when my mom called me this morning? How's life? Pretty good. How's work? Great. Anything happening? No. My wife drove off with the cat on top of the car. Nearly killed him, but cost me an arm and a leg to get him patched up again. I had about 5 minutes of sheer panic running down the street in my bathrobe. You won't see that on a soap opera. I mean, just trying to save our longtime pet from a gruesome death on the highway. That was it. There was nothing else to tell. Maybe is that the appeal? That our lives are boring. We long for excitement. And soap operas provide them. The phone lines are wide open. If you tried to call earlier and couldn't get through, now is the time to call 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We also have that email address here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I've got two books to give away to our callers. One I already gave away to Don. Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment. One more of those to give away. And Patricia Heaton has a book called Motherhood in Hollywood, How to Get a Job Like Mine. I'll probably be giving that away to someone who qualifies for the role of motherhood, not to one of our male callers. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I know that soap operas probably have taken a hit lately because more people are outside the home working. They're not home watching these things. But they must be a working formula because there's no shortage of them. They're all pretty much just like the other one, pretty much interchangeable. And they're long running. Believe me, television producers, television executives don't keep putting something on the air and spending money on it unless it makes money, and it must make money. It must still have a very healthy viewership. Otherwise, it would have been replaced by now. Let's see what Mark has to say. He's calling from South County. Hi, Mark.
Oh, Pastor Wilkin, how you doing?
Very well.
I guess I got a couple things I was thinking of. I remember growing up as a kid, and my mom had, I'm trying to picture, I'm thinking two particular favorites, and if I can remember, I think it was The Secret Storm and The Edge of Night or something like that. And I mean, it was like after lunch ritual. You knew what mom was going to be doing. It didn't seem like it really affected her life, though, but I thought it was pretty corny then, and I still think, that's just me as a guy, though, I still think they're pretty corny. I'm thinking, could we maybe come up with a new name, though, other than soap operas? It sounds so harmless.
What do they call them now?
Well, I don't know.
There is a name for them.
Oh, they got a new name?
Yeah, even though the magazines all still call them soaps, I think they call them daytime drama? Daytime drama.
Yeah, and again, don't you think it's a little bit like a fantasy world, like you said? Yeah, my life's pretty boring, too. Would Leave it to Beaver fit in there maybe about 2 o'clock, right alongside of one of them?
Now, see, that's a different thing. I could ask the same question. Thank you very much. No, it wouldn't fit in. I could ask the same question about Leave It to Beaver, or just this morning, just idly turned on the TV while I was getting ready. It was Mayberry. It was the Andy Griffith Show. And I remember a friend of mine in the seminary loved the show, went home every afternoon to watch the show. This was, by the way, Brent Kuhlman. Every afternoon, go home to watch the black and white version of the Andy Griffith Show. Why? He just wanted to escape. I mean, it's the same reason a lot of people watch soap operas. It's a very clean, it's squeaky clean. It's saccharine sweet. But people watch that to escape their lives. Wouldn't you rather live in Mayberry? No, we didn't have the hots for Aunt Bee. Wouldn't you rather live in Mayberry with Barney and all the characters? Life was simple, and sitting on the porch with Andy strumming his guitar, and I would. But it's the same kind of escapism. There was very little drama in Mayberry, and everything always got nicely tied up at the end of the show. But it was the same kind of escape. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Karen calls from her car. Hi, Karen.
Yeah, hi. I'm a first-time caller. You know about the soaps, my sisters are so hooked on them, and you said something about, well, so many more women are working now.
Mm-hmm.
My sisters tape them, and they go home, and dinner doesn't get cooked or anything until they sit for an hour and a half and watch their 3 soaps.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the houses are a mess. Their daily life is neglected, and their excuse is, well, yeah, but if you tape them, you can fast forward them and not watch the commercials. And so you can watch 3 soaps, you know, in, like, I don't know, under an hour and a half because of the commercials. But to me, I mean, that's their everyday ritual, and then they complain that they just don't have time to cook or clean or anything. That's my beef with it. They get so hooked on it that they don't, their real life takes a backseat.
What's the appeal there, since you have sisters, and this isn't, I wouldn't call that at a casual attraction to the soap operas. What do you think the appeal is there, Karen?
Well, I think the sister that's the worst about it, she's just very depressed with her life, depressed with her marriage, depressed with her life, depressed with her children, everything. And I think she just comes home, and that's her thing. She said that's how she relaxes and gets away from everything. But I, you know, I'm just very different. It would stress me out to come into a house where it was just chaotic. I couldn't sit and watch anything and relax. So that, but I know several women like that, other than my sister, that it, they're so addicted to that, and they're usually very depressed women, and the rest of their life takes a back seat.
Karen, thank you. I hope that hope things improve for your sisters there, certainly. But okay, it's a way to get away. You come home from work, and you can just escape into that world, and that world is always there waiting for you. And that world always is going to be delivered to you exactly the same way. It's very predictable. What about the rest of you? Let's talk with Dory, who calls from Florissant. Hi, Dory.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, first let me tell you about what I was addicted to. Martha Stewart. She was like visiting a family friend every morning, and I was really upset when they took her off. I still am.
So when she
because it was like visiting a relative. I'm a hands-on person. I like to do everything. I like to do crafts, cook, cut the grass, grow flowers. I don't want to waste my time listening to some stupid woman talking about her problems.
So you are Martha Stewart, but you enjoyed having Martha Stewart in your.
He was really like a relative.
Wow.
Like visiting some, and so, and you could say that about Andy of Mayberry too.
Oh yeah, I mean.
Now there's another one I really like, and that's Red Fox. I think he is really terrific. I mean, he's on really late at night. He's on the new channel 46, but I watch him after BBC News. I have to watch BBC News because you don't get anything out of the other news.
I think I'm talking to my mother here for some reason. This is exactly my mother's schedule.
What I really wanted to say was, after I got born again, these things, why would anybody sit and listen to some frivolous talk that doesn't mean anything when in John 17, Yeshua said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So you nourish the spirit with his word. So why would you not nourish your spirit? Why would you just sit and just not do anything, I mean, with words?
Dory, thanks for the call. All right, now see, Martha Stewart can be an escape just as well. Open line TV confessions on issues, etc. I'm trying to think of what, you know, there's not a lot of television I can't do without. Although I'm really anxious to find out who gets voted off tonight on American Idol, but I've got a teenager in the house. So I probably won't be missing that, or I will be taping it and watching it later. But really, if you take the commercials out of American Idol, it's only about 15 seconds long. So, you know, if you're zooming through that, you spend more time fast-forwarding than you do actually watching it on play. Jane is calling from her car. Jane, welcome. Hi, Jane.
Hello.
Hey, Jane, turn off your radio if you would, please.
I'm sorry, I just did.
That's okay.
I just wanted to say I'm on the soap operas and things between Survivor. Well, you have your evening soaps like Survivor and the OC and stuff. The people I work with, it's like they're addicted to the things. They come to work and they discuss them for 20 minutes in the morning about the whole program. And then they also videotape the soap operas and come home and watch those at night after they've watched Survivor and OC, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know how they have time to do anything else. I think it becomes like a way to live vicariously, you know, through somebody else. I don't know. Maybe it's more exciting or something, but I find it real interesting. I don't get it.
Do you think that the soap operas in particular, the afternoon stuff, are like female pornography?
Yeah, and it's getting to the point. I don't know. I haven't seen them in a long time, but just seeing the last few commercials I've seen for them, yeah, I think so, you know.
All right. Thank you very much, Jane. See, I'm wondering more about this aspect of escaping from your own life. Is that just unwise, or is that actually wrong? to escape from your own life, whatever your life is. Now, see, we talk about vocation on this program, that you live the life to which God has called you. That's what Paul says. Let each of you remain where God has called you. You don't go pining away for something that isn't yours. Coveting is a sin. Even coveting a different life is a sin. There is a fine line between entertainment, amusement, which is the definition of that word. Amuse means to stop thinking. To muse means to think. Amusement means to something that kind of puts the mind in neutral. There's a difference between entertainment and escape. I mean, real escape, where you're trying to get away. Some people escape into a bottle or escape into drugs or escape into, you know, I could raise this question. Televised sports. Men don't have soap operas so much, but football season. How many men are escaping onto the gridiron? Or, like me, the only sport that I ever really enjoyed watching was golf. Yep, the L's come out again to the foreheads. Watching Star Trek and watching golf, yes. And driving down the highway in my 1962 Dodge Dart. You can say it out loud, Craig. Yeah. Pat calls from Florissant. Hi, Pat.
Yes, I was just wondering, so are you saying that it's okay to watch soaps? Have you landed on this?
No, I haven't landed. In fact, I'm not wandering around. I'm saying that there might be something wrong about watching soaps that might have less to do with the sex and the intrigue on the soaps than with why we watch them in the first place.
Well, because I've heard you say on this station about other things like books, it's just entertainment, and you know reality and things like that. I feel watching the soaps is a total waste of time, but it's also there's too much sexual appeal and things like that, in which I believe you believe that too. But it's just entertainment. We should know that's not reality. Sort of like books, like Harry Potter. I compare it the same almost. You waste your time reading a Harry Potter book, which has wizardry and stuff like that, or you can waste your time on soaps, which has all the sex and violence or whatever's on those.
Pat, thanks for the call. Let's talk with Mary. Now, I haven't landed on this. I'm asking, if there's something wrong about watching the soaps, then what is it that's wrong about it? Is it only the sex and the intrigue? Mary calls from her car. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I guess I'm not going to address your question about the soaps, whether what it is, if there's something wrong other than immorally. What you just said about sports kind of caught my attention, because I remember sitting in church one Sunday morning where the preacher, as part of his sermon, said that he had watched something like 9 hours of football the day before, and his wife wasn't very happy with him, and there was a chuckle that rippled through the congregation, and I thought to myself, the day before he has to preach a sermon, what's he doing watching 9 hours of football? So, and maybe that ties in with the soap operas. I mean, and what you say, it's stealing away at the purpose of our life.
Mary, thank you very much. That's a great way to kind of wrap this one up. So what would you think if a pastor stood in front of his congregation and said, I spent 9 hours watching The Days of Our Lives yesterday? You know, there are channels where you can get it all in one day. They do have a soap opera channel on cable now, where if you miss it during the week, you can watch every episode end to end of your favorite soap and not miss a single thing. So it's all there. You could watch 9 hours. Now, don't get me wrong. We should, and one of our callers put it very well, we should not, I think it was Gloria who said, and Gloria, I'm going to send Gloria this copy of the book. Please call us back, Gloria, 505-7850-1800-730-2727. To Gloria, I will give Patricia Heaton's book, called Motherhood in Hollywood, How to Get a Job Like Mine. Just call Jeff and he'll connect you up there. And then also, I got one more to give away. Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment. Let's give that one to Mark. Mark, call back. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. I'll send you a copy of Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment, Rediscovering Passion and Wonder by Richard Winter. Thanks to all the callers, by the way. I am not saying that feeding the flesh, feeding the sinful lust by watching a soap opera is right. That's not what I'm saying. But I think there is a sin that may be less obvious in the soap opera, in the broadcast sports, in whatever you're watching. Now, can you watch in a clear conscience? Certainly you can. Certainly you can. But notice, some of the most subtle sins are included in the Ten Commandments. Think about the Sixth Commandment. You shall not commit adultery, which Jesus tells us, even goes to something as subtle, an emotion as subtle as lust. To look with lust at a woman. Or the final commandment, do not covet. There's a subtle sin for you. In fact, Paul even at one point says that covetousness is next to idolatry. But people wouldn't tend to think of it that way. So we sit in front of the television, whether it be our favorite sitcom or our favorite reality show or our favorite soap opera or favorite sports team, and we covet what we see there. Not so much the beautiful face or the beautiful athletic ability. We covet the life. The life away from our life, wishing to live somebody else's life, to be someplace else, rather than what Paul commends very highly, godliness with, what does he say, contentment. I think that's what is at the heart of that last commandment, you shall not covet. What stands at the heart of covetousness is discontent, which may be the sin we indulge the most when we're watching television. There's a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar coming up this summer. It is an opportunity not to escape into a theological wonder world, but to learn and to learn at the feet of some issues, etc. Regular guests, Dr. Gene Edward Veith, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Dr. Angus Manoogian. They'll all be covering their particular areas of expertise this summer at the Schwann Center at a Confessional Christian Worldview seminar. To find out more, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848. Or go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click on that Schwann Center logo. By the way, while I'm on the subject, Issues Etc. is also should not also be a source of discontent either. No escapism here either. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.